Hello. Morning, church. How is everyone? Good, good, good to see you all. Welcome to all our visitors and anyone who's watching online. Speaking of Pastor Lynn Tobin, just to add on to what's been said, Pastor Lynn went to India the past few weeks, and she said that she preached to over 1,000 widows, and there were some men there as well. And she shared a testimony of a man that she met 20 years ago. And I guess she hadn't seen him since then. And she just wanted me to pass on a thank you to the church for all your giving. So apparently this young man back then, he's got 5 children, 5 girls. And so your giving helped to build toilets so that these girls would have somewhere to go and not go in the bush or anything, just for safety issues. Your giving helped get him out of jail when he was arrested for preaching the gospel. And your giving helped with purchasing land for him and also some monthly costs. So she just wanted me to say thank you. So please give yourselves a hand for all that giving. We appreciate it. So I'm just going to start off reading Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So if you're taking notes, the title of my message is Choosing the Better Thing. Choosing the Better Thing. Here we meet Jesus at a family home where one of the sisters, Martha, is the host. And as you can imagine, as a host, Martha is very busy that day. So Martha was distracted from Jesus. Her sister, on the other hand, if you were to switch on your locations on your GPS, she's in the same location as her sister. Except, unlike Martha, she's not running around. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's listening to Jesus, close up. Like at the movies, when you decide to go to the front row, she wants to make sure that she takes in everything. She doesn't want to miss a thing. The sister is beside herself when she realizes what's happening. Her sister is not helping her with the guests or taking care of the kids that are running around. She's understandably annoyed. So she reports her to the Lord, and he responds to her complaint in his own unique way. So hold that thought. We'll come back to that. Overall, we see that even though Mary seemed to be chilling at the feet of Jesus, Martha was distracted. However, these were indeed valid distractions. You know, among the many hats that I wear, like many of you, is that of a wife, a mother, therapist, a pastor, business person, family member, the list goes on and on. Some heads are bigger than others and need more of my time, my energy, my effort. Some heads fit more comfortably than others. Sometimes I wonder which of these heads I could just set aside, even just for a day. It's an ongoing challenge. I'm guessing you too have many heads that you wear and wish you could set some aside. Some are small, some are big, some are important, some are not so important. It says this, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. They had to be made. She's running around making sure that the food is cooking well. The tables are set and the decorations are in place. The water for washing the hands is ready and the serving dishes are there. She's making sure that all the guests are catered for. They have their snacks and their drinks, comfortable seats. They know where the toilets are. She's busy. At some point in her busyness, she stops and is unsettled. When she notices that someone is missing in action, the chicken probably nearly got burnt. The drinks haven't been chilled. Martha felt what was happening was not fair. She felt that her sister had it easy. She felt her sister was not putting in the effort. I wonder for yourself, what have you looked at in your life and felt this is unfair? At home? At the office? At school? In church? Whatever your circle of connection is. Has God ever seemed like he was just letting things happen that shouldn't? I'm reminded of the story of Jonah. I think we all know about Jonah who got swallowed. And how he was upset that God was willing to forgive the people of Nineveh who had disregarded him. And so he had this righteous anger. And we see the same thing in Martha. She went to the Lord for him to do something about this injustice. I imagine her pace and the thoughts she was having while she was walking towards the Lord. Wait until the Lord realizes what's happening here. She hasn't lifted a finger. Wait until he hears that. He'll sort her out. That's just my imagination. Martha accused the Lord of being non-responsive to this injustice, blaming him for her circumstances. She says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. The response the Lord gave Martha would have come as a shock to her system. He talks about the one thing. Instead of giving Martha a big hug and saying, hear, hear, I'm so sorry your sister is being unfair. Jesus instead points out that actually your sister Martha is onto something. He points out she has identified and chosen the one thing, the only thing, the better thing. He then adds, this would not be taken away from her. Not by the Lord himself or by anyone else. What are those around you saying to you about where your focus lies? Most importantly, is the Lord pleased with where your focus lies? The Lord was pleased with where Mary's focus was. Do not let people remove you from your place of surrender, your place of submission. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. We all kind of know this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here's the thing. Martha did present her request to the Lord. Except she was worried and upset. often we're very good at presenting our concerns to the Lord, our worries, and the things that upset us. But it's often a grocery list of the things we want the Lord to address. And attached to it, there's often this sense of urgency and panic. We are worried and upset, just like Martha. You might be thinking, that's all good for Mary to choose the one thing, the better thing, but my life is different. My life is too hectic, and I don't even know where to start. The thing is, we all need to do business with God. To do business with God, you need four things. Number one, you need a system. Secondly, you need to stop. Thirdly, you need focus. And lastly, you need to practice. Then repeat. A system is about being intentional, about setting time aside, about making an appointment in your day, putting it in your calendar with the rest of your appointments. We all work with appointments these days. Add it to your to-do list. That's a system that can work. But you need to stop. There's a book that was written many years ago by American preacher Bill Hybels, Too Busy Not to Pray. And as they were coming up to the re-release of the book, this is what was said. For over two decades, Too Busy Not to Pray has stood as a classic on prayer, helping Christians all over the world slow down to draw near to God. During those years, the world certainly hasn't slowed down. If anything, the pace, intensity, and number of distractions have only increased. Brokenness and pain seem to have increased as well, with news of civil war, poverty, broken families, and sex trafficking touching us daily. The urgent need for prayer is clear, but busyness still keeps many of us from finding time to pray. Two truths haven't changed in all these years. God is the same powerful, just, holy God he's always been. And true prayer, prayer that changes us and allows us to participate in God's work in the world, can't happen on the fly. So Bill Hybels once again offers us his practical, time-tested ideas on slowing down to pray. Too Busy Not to Pray calls both young and old to make prayer a priority and broadens our vision for what our eternal, powerful God does when his people slow down to pray. Bill Hybels said, too busy not to pray. I say, too busy not to have a daily appointment with God. Too busy not to sit down at the feet of Jesus. So next, there's focus. Focus is important. Sometimes it's difficult to prioritize, organize, and focus what is important because we live such busy lives. You know, funny story, just sharing about myself. At the beginning of this year, I was diagnosed with an attention disorder, right, ADHD. And a lot of things started to make sense to me. I was always that child and then adult who was easily distracted. I couldn't remember where I put things, didn't remember which way I came in through the door. I was losing things, no sense of direction. At work, I'd be working on one thing, then a thought would pop into my mind to check an email. While checking the email, something else would pop into my head. I would leave that thing. The list goes on and on and on. Forget kids' appointments. And at the end of it all, I would end up with multiple unfinished tasks. So the idea of the one thing does not come naturally to me. I wonder if that has been your experience or of someone that you know. Focus. You have to pray for it and you have to prioritize it. The fourth thing is practice. Our pastor in Port Hedland, Pastor David Hooper, used to engage with the church through Friday night homemade pizzas. And he preached a series called Pray Like Pizza. The idea was that when you sit down and have time with God, when you sit down and have that appointment with God, you can divide your time into slices of pizza. Sometimes you'll have some slices and not others. Worship is a slice. Bible reading is a slice. Praying in tongues, if you do, is a slice. Praise is a slice. It goes on and on. He called it pray like pizza. I'm calling it doing business with God. There's one question that we all need an answer to. And it's this: how does one do business with God when everything seems to be falling apart? During life transitions, during times of grief and loss, when there's an unexpected change, moments of confusion, when you enter unknown territory, how do you do business with God? The thing is, stopping being intentional to do business with God is about giving yourself the opportunity to praise Him for who He is and being still and knowing that He is God who will be exalted among the nations. It's about being reminded of your identity in Christ and your authority. Talking to Him about your worries and surrendering all that is chaotic in your life. This is what you'll get from doing business with God. It's about getting instructions and wisdom on how to proceed with something. For a lot of us, we spend a lot of time researching, calling people, doing everything else besides stopping and hearing what God is saying. It's about getting answers to questions you've been asking. It's about experiencing healing for the wounds that stop you from moving forward. It's about understanding that in the midst of confusion and suffering, hope lives. Mary has chosen what is better. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I wonder what was going on for Mary. Why would she choose to sit at the feet of Jesus and not help her sister, who was clearly overwhelmed? While Martha needed an assistant for the day, perhaps Mary's need was bigger, deeper, greater. I wonder whether she was burdened with responsibilities, weary, and needed to rest, like many of us in this room today. Because she came to Jesus and sat at His feet to learn from Him. Maybe she was too busy not to sit at the feet of Jesus. She was too busy not to pray. So are we saying, or am I saying, people should just leave all their responsibilities and come and sit at the feet of Jesus? Yes and no. We're saying when you sit at the feet of Jesus and listen, he will teach you something. Then you will leave that space with a certain level of grace to do the things you need to do. But I think sometimes we've got it twisted. We've got it the other way around. We want to do all the things on our to-do list. Then we will come and sit at the feet of Jesus. But by Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, she essentially sat at the feet of the healer, the restorer, the provider, the one who sustains you, the bread of life, the living water, the one who makes you lie down in green pastures in just that one move. I'll get you to just stand up. You know, prayer is not a very exciting topic. There are other more exciting topics we could cover in church. But prayer is one of the most important things we need to do. Because as followers of Christ, the most important thing for us is to understand the heart of God the Father, and is to connect with the Lord Jesus Christ at a very intimate level. I can imagine, especially for men, and I'm generalizing, it would be hard to imagine yourself going to sit at the feet of another man. So what I would like you to think about is what that looks like for you. What does sitting at the feet of Jesus look like for you? For some people, it's taking a walk at the beach. For some people, it's going for a bike ride. For some people, it's going on a motorbike. For some people, it's just sitting down, like for myself, and journaling. The amazing thing about God is that he is so personal. He works with you according to how he has made you, how he has gifted you. So your sitting at the feet of Jesus doesn't have to look like that of the other person. But it must happen. So this morning, I just wanted to give people an opportunity to just be reflective. And just, you know, there's some things I've written down here about areas that I'd like to pray for. And if that's something that is important to you, please come up for prayer. Don't be shy about it. You know, there may be some people here who need to be set free from the need to perform. Some people live are performers. We're constantly on the run, performing for God. Like Martha was. She was doing what was needed, but she was worried and upset. And there may be some people here who are overwhelmed and distracted by many things. There may be some who are tired and need rest for your souls. I think it's important that we pray. So if there's anything in that really was relevant to you, please come up and the team will come and pray. Otherwise, I just want to pray for everyone. I'd also just like to ask the Chris and Carla, are they here? No? Oh, okay. Yeah, I just want to pray for parents of small kids. So could you get them, please? Just this week when I was preparing this message, I just really got a strong sense to pray for parents of small kids, the babies. Because even though that's such a beautiful season in life, it's very easy to think everything is beautiful. But it can be a very challenging time. But please, if you've got any other prayer need, don't let that kind of, you know, restrict you. But it's just what I felt over the week. But I just want to pray before they come. Just want you to imagine for yourself what sitting at the feet of Jesus looks like for you. You know, it says, come to me, all of you who are weary. So some people go to Jesus because they're weary. They sit at the feet of Jesus because they're weary. But you also need to sit at the feet of Jesus because you are burdened. Being burdened is about being worried. It's about decisions you need to make. It's about questions you need answers for. And he says, come to me. So, Father, we just thank you. I'll pray for you guys in a minute. I'll start off with the other prayer. Father, we just thank you that you're a good God. You're a faithful God. Thank you, Father, for your word that is powerful, that is living. We thank you for your word that says that Mary did the one thing, the better thing. And I pray for every single person in this place this morning that whatever that one thing is that they need, Father, I pray that you would show them what it is. Show them what that looks like. We know with you, Lord, there are no formulas. But as we surrender our hearts to you, you will guide us. I thank you, Father, for your wisdom. And I pray, Father, that even this week, people would go and seek you and seek understanding for what that looks like for them. That we would start to see shifts in our lives as we start to come to you and learn from you. Thank you, Jesus. I was just sharing before that when I was praying this week, God really impressed in my heart to pray for, you know, parents with babies, little people. But the way it came to me is that I saw a vision of the two of you. So I just thought, well, you'll represent the rest of the parents. Bert and Harriet, I don't know where Harriet is. You should also be here. It's okay, you can come and represent her. Church, let's just stretch out our hands and pray for parents with small babies. Father, you are good and your mercy endures forever. I thank you, Father, for Chris and Carla. I thank you for Bert and Harriet. I thank you, Father, for Catherine and Jacob, Father. And I thank you for all the other families, Lord. Bebe and Ruth, all families, Lord. Gamma and Blama. All families, whoever else I've forgotten, who've got small children, Lord. I pray for a strength that only you can give. I pray, Father, for the couples, Father, that you may strengthen their relationship during this life transition, Father. Whatever burdens they carry, I pray that you would bring people around them to strengthen them, to give them a hope, Lord. I pray against any weapon that the enemy would form against them, Lord. I pray that their mind be focused on you, Lord. I pray, Father, that in the busyness of life, they may just get even just 5 minutes to just sit at the feet of Jesus. I pray, Father, that they would make room for each other as couples, oh God, to have that time, that freedom to just spend time with you, oh God. I pray for blessings over parents. I pray for blessings over their babies, oh God. And I pray for every family, Lord, that is struggling to juggle it all. I pray for our church, oh God. And I pray, Father, that we would get a revelation that Jesus Christ loves his church. He loves his bride and he'll do anything. He died on the cross. That's how much he loves his people. So, Father, I pray that that would sink in, that we would come freely to him. Because through his death, we've been given direct access to the Father. So we thank you, Jesus. I pray for blessings over all families. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.